Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Center Ring. TCR for short. You can find us at tcr.gg. That's the website. Our Twitter, at the Center Ring. Let us know stuff there, whatever people do on Twitter nowadays. Episode 27 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. And dare I say it, I think it's gonna be the best episode we've ever done. We have a lot of good stuff on the show for you. We're going to always end the show with the micro, as usual. Basically, just a mixture of stories we just don't have time or enough information to get to. Esports made a presence on the national television service again, so we'll discuss Heroes of the Dorm on ESPN2, how that shook up, thoughts, opinions on is television really the right thing for esports. And we'll start the show with a little bit of ECS Face It action in your face. Kind of break down that new league, one of the many that we always have to worry about in the CSGO world. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Tim. I'll be one of the hosts for this evening. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. The co-host, Brandon, at BrandInnyNew. How are you doing?
Good. I'm trying to get the longest Twitter handle in history.
I believe mine's longer. It's just yours is not
as easy.
Yeah, convenient to remember.
Anyway,
it makes no sense really, unless they know your gamer tags any new forever. But anyways, like I said, we have a hell of a show for you. Follow us on Twitter at the Center Ring. Let us know what you think, thoughts, opinions, hopes, fears, and dreams. But without further delay, let's get into this ECS Face It League. It's a new CSGO league. I'm sure everyone's heard of it by now because it really came out of nowhere. And when I mean nowhere, I mean it was Tuesday morning.
It was announced immediately after MLG ended, like Tuesday after MLG ended.
It was
ended.
Tuesday morning because I took Monday off of work and it broke when I was at work.
And then the qualifiers started like the next day, like immediately after the announcement.
It was the strangest thing because you almost think like, so this must have been in the works for a while and everyone just kind of kept it hush hush. But really, it's been in the works for a while, but not even the teams knew about it until like right before it started, which kind of created some controversy in the end because some teams just physically were not able to play in qualifiers and stuff with short notice and they can't make the time in their schedule and whatnot. So that's some controversy there that we'll get to in a little bit. But essentially, break down what is this? What is ECS? I know it's Face It, but what makes this different from all the other leagues out there?
So this is, first off, it's the biggest prize pool. It's $3.5 million at the end of this tournament. I say tournament, it's actually like a season, like a ESL Pro League, where teams face off. You know, and the best records go to the playoffs, and the playoffs play, and eventually there's a winner. There'll probably be an offline championship, I'm sure. None of those details have been announced yet. So biggest prize pool at the end of it, $3.5 million, and they're going to have to earn it. These teams are playing best of threes now that we're out of the qualifiers, and even in the qualifiers, the final qualifier games were best of fives. These are long games. Really long games. Like majors don't even have best of threes until the end because they take so long. And you're talking about best of fives for a qualifier.
They're taking it serious, I think. And one thing that stood out to me during the press release is this league, the teams have some form of ownership in the league.
Yeah, so similar to the NFL does, teams are going to get revenue sharing. So if they're part of the league, any of the revenue that the league takes in, they're going to get part of that. And they also get a say in the ownership decision. So they can change, you know, rules, or they can change format. You know, they all get kind of a say, kind of like a board of governors, or kind of like how team owners participate in management decisions in the NFL, the NHL, MLB, all that. It's actually a really smart move by Faceit to get teams to buy in, right?
Well, it's different. I mean, you think if you're an organization, you have so many, not just leagues. I mean, there's ESL, that's kind of the big league. But you have a lot of little things here between all these tiny tournaments and all these seasons that are so under the radar, but they're kind of always playing and someone's keeping track of everything to know if you're invited to the LAN finals and all that. This is the one thing that I think would make an organization be like, oh, so we should actually probably do this one.
Well, yeah.
And so take it serious, because the bigger they make this league, the more money they get.
It's a clever ploy for exclusivity on the teams. Like if you as a team know that no matter how well you do in this tournament or in this season, you're going to get a portion of the revenue. You get to decide or help decide how the format goes or how the games are formatted or, you know, time frames or whatever. You're going to participate in it. I mean, it benefits you too much not to.
And you brought it up, so I guess I wasn't planning on getting into it this early on in the discussion, but you brought it up where, you know, being exclusive to a league, eventually I feel, and I don't know when, I couldn't even guess, can't even entertain the idea on when. I'm not that into the behind-the-scenes business aspect, but eventually I feel like we are going to find one league takes priority for these organizations and just decides, you know what, all we have to do is play this one league. Tournaments here and there, but one league will rule them all.
Once the money gets big enough, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, $3.5 million is a lot of money. That's a huge prize pool, and you don't even have to win that to get money out of this league. I feel like this is probably going to start pushing teams or pushing leagues to at least try for an exclusivity deals with teams. And I can't believe ESL, I almost feel like ESL's been so greedy with everything
just
that they didn't do this.
Knowing that people are going to do it, play for them.
Yeah.
We don't need to give them rights because they'll play here. Where else are they going to go?
Yeah.
Well, now, like you said, these teams that they're not going to win. I mean, just look at the teams on the North American side of things, like NRG and New TSM, Complexity, Echo Fox, who is literally in shambles right now, without a roof. There's teams like this that, with all due respect, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
If the organizations, if the owners can find a way to still make money. I mean, the Oakland Raiders find a way to make money. They all make profit in the NFL. If this could turn that same case where even a losing team can turn profit, I think this is the first step to where you start seeing contract, like real contracts,
right?
Real trade clause, real organization inside the organizations.
Yeah, the smaller teams are going to, especially with profit sharing, if it works, similar to many of the pro leagues where the teams in not so great of markets, or in this instance, the teams that don't win quite as much get a larger portion of that profit sharing, they'll be able to survive longer. Like it'll make it more stable. But there has to be enough money for the top teams as well to make it worth their time, right? Because they're obviously
they
not going to get as much benefit out of it.
You need to make it to where every team can benefit, but it's not like the top teams are playing to get the bottom team money.
Right.
Like, we're not here to make them money. Yeah, we'll give them some for the goodness of the league and the sport to grow, but I'm not winning first so Echo Fox can have 30% of whatever fraction of the winnings. So I agree with that, but this is also, I mean, this is, You'll get some people that probably don't like that aspect, who feel, and maybe even some organizations who don't like the aspect of helping out the lesser of the teams. But I feel like in esports, the rotating door effect is something that does need to be slowed down a little bit. Whether that's players leaving teams constantly and roster moves always happening. I mean, we even discussed it with multiple people, but even GB James, where he was saying just the rampant roster change, the quick trigger fingers in esports is at an all-time high. Same thing with organizations. You constantly see organizations dropping out of being an organization, having teams in esports, and I hopefully this is something that can work. Now, they did say this is just season one, so obviously starting the season is always a little weird on who qualifies, who's going to be invited. Next year, and they wanted to do it this year, but due to time, they couldn't. They want to do just a straight-up open qualifier, which could be interesting. I don't know what that means, to be honest with you.
Well, so they haven't announced any...
Like, what does...
I mean, Face It
the
has...
The word open is very broad.
Face It has its, you know, matchmaking system, and I don't know if it's going to be based off performance on their and on the Face It side of things, or if it's literally going to be like, you can sign your team up. Like, you and I could go make a team and sign them up.
So in my head, that's what I see. I wish it would be like that, because I even said on last episode, I miss that feeling of Cinderella teams just coming out of nowhere and qualifying to play with the pros. I mean, that's how you get new blood into the scene and mix things up. But at the same time, I feel like I don't need 1,000 teams league.
Yeah, especially, so that's what you're going to have. You're going to have every Joe Schmo signing up.
Especially with other teams actually having ownership in the league. It just seems, that would seem silly to me that a team of, small chance of this ever happening, but a team of 5 random people who don't belong to an organization at all, they're not signed to any roster or contract, qualifies. And then it's like, so what? Like, what, so they get ownership somehow? That is such backdoor business practice that we don't have to worry about.
Well, the crazy part about it is if you're going to let it be open qualifiers in that sense, you have to do best of ones. I mean, there's not going to be any way you can do that. And a team of randoms could fall through, you know, I mean, it's not likely, but they could fall through and get noticed.
Yeah. They could fall through to enough to be noticed. But after talking out loud with you, I'm opting out of that concept because there's no way that can work.
There's no way, yeah.
No way that can work in the internet age. Going to a LAN tournament where you can have a set number of teams, okay, I get it. But online, my God, we would do it just for fun, knowing that we wouldn't make it one game. We would not win one game.
Yeah. But then you could be like, oh, we competed in the ECS qualifier. Yeah, but
we did something. So that's, you know, anyway. Put it on our resume. So that's all season two, though, where... They have these dreams where teams like Tempo Storm, who's not in this year, and I know everyone freaked out, Fallen kind of kicked... Fallen kicked the fire a little bit, right? He did pour some gasoline on what was embers. Fallen tweeted out... I don't have the tweet in front of me, but essentially it was saying that...
I think I've got it up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Essentially, it was saying that he can't believe that Tempo Storm got snuffed out of an invite to the league.
Direct quote, why would Tempo Storm CSGO lineup not invited to ECS? What else does this guys need to do? What else does this guys need to do prove to be respected? He basically said, you guys don't...
Disrespected.
Yeah, it's because they're Tempo Storm. That's the thing that bothers me. Luminosity is now known as one of the top 3 teams in the world. Tempo Storm has done well. They have gotten recognition for it.
But because they're Luminosity Junior, people feel like
they're disrespected. No, right. They're not disrespected. They were offered a chance to compete and couldn't.
And the schedule didn't work out. Which, does it suck? Yes. Was this all at very short notice? Yeah, it is. But since when has anybody in Counter-Strike had a long notice on anything? I mean, iBuyPower throws together tournaments in a week, and then they'll do their iBuyPower Cup. That's how that... I mean, it's... All this is so short notice. That is an issue with esports, is that there is no off-season. There is none. you maybe have 3 weeks in December after the majors where there's like a lull between there's no league, there's no Dota, there's no CSGO. Like the December holiday weeks is where it slows down. And then after
that's the off season.
Yeah, the off season is like 2 or 3 weeks. And then right after that, they have to start doing all these seasons, all these leagues, all these tournaments and everything. While other people are organizations?
Jesus. You were on a roll too.
Organizing. That's the word I was looking
organizing.
For.
Okay,
organizing. Okay. Still doesn't sound right. When you say it so much, it loses its meaning. But they're putting together all these little hole-in-the-wall tournaments that half these teams don't even know about until the week prior. But because there's cash prize in there, I mean, you can't say no. And really, as a player, can you even say no? Or is it if your organization's like, hey, you're gonna play, so play. It's, I guess we kind of went off on a tangent away from ECS, but that is an issue.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's a bit of an issue. So, Roychez, I assume that's how you pronounce
it.
Yeah, sure. So he commented as a result of that Fallen tweet and said, like, the invites were partially based on performance. And this is a quote, out of respect, we wanted to include the teams that have helped us shape the creation of ECS. So teams that provided the feedback and worked with Faceit to actually create it also received invites. So that's why you might see a team like TCM, which is a big org that has a kind of a not great team.
But and the by reputation.
Not great, yeah, by not great, I mean awful team.
It's the organization,
but the organization
has a reputation,
helped.
Not so much the team.
So in Temple Storm's not the only one missing. You know, Flipside has been performing well. Renegades is also missing. The Forgotten Australians slash LA.
They don't perform well, but they
didn't even get a chance, I mean, right?
Yeah, you would think of them before anyone else.
So and he did go on to say that he says we truly hope to see Temple Storm, Flipside, and Renegades and other teams that might have missed out on the season one qualification process competing in our season two, which will feature development league and open qualifiers to ensure everyone has an opportunity to prove amongst the best in ECS. So they get it. There were teams that would have wanted to do this but couldn't because of the time. But it is what it is. It's one season of the stuff. I mean, Temple Storm's not going to all of a sudden fold because they didn't get into the ECS while they were traveling to Sweden to boot camp. Anyway.
It's just a shame that that's what it's turning into and people are almost already spitting on the league and NA side for what really was out of everybody's hands. You don't blame Temple Storm for not being able to do it because I completely understand on short notice. And what's Faceit supposed to do? Their best case scenario is we invite them and they say yes. So they had to opt for the next best, which is where we at least asked. It's kind of like, I know you can't come to my wedding because I know you're going to be busy that weekend, but I'm going to ask you so I don't look like a jerk. Like it's, you know?
Yeah.
So
it was a personal anecdote.
Well, I mean, you're invited. Don't worry, man. You're good. So I don't know. We'll have to see where ECS goes, I guess, in the future to see how this partially owned league works in the end. I think the first season is more so getting the kinks worked out because their production is kind of shoddy at times. They're working their guys ridiculous hours.
I feel super bad for James, who had that awesome liner at the beginning of the show, DDK and Red Eye trying to
by the
cast
end of
all
the night,
these games.
They just look miserable.
I mean, they're doing 2 or 3 best of threes a night. And I mean, that's constant.
So they're going to get their act together. It's just, you know, it's a new league.
And looking at the invites, man, it really shines a light on how shallow the North American scene is.
When you start dipping into...
Like, so there's 10 teams in EU and 10 teams for NA. Now, I get it. North America is one country, whereas EU is like every country that's not North America. But man, I mean, even the teams that had to qualify for the EU and Mouse Sports and G2, the two that qualified, you would still pick those two over 50% of the NA teams.
Minus easily. Luminosity and Team Liquid.
Like, there's Luminosity, Liquid, C9, and Optic. So you've got, what, four teams?
Well, CLG, their legend status now for...
They did do well at the major.
So let's give credit to C. I feel like CLG for an NA team doesn't give as much credit.
So okay,
they're kind of the not flashy, they're the silent organization, but
so you have,
give credit.
So five. The drop off from there, I mean, you have NRG, Complexity, TSM, Echo Fox, and TBC. I mean, the drop off is super steep.
It would have looked better with Tempo Storm.
Yeah, it would.
We can at least all admit that. I don't agree with Fallen's tweet or what 90% of the community is saying about the situation, but I can agree that it would look better with Tempo Storm.
And the funny part is like you can look at like the only reason NRG was invited is because of the organization's backing with the, you know, Shaq and the other two guys I can't even remember right now.
So, but this is going to be a work in progress, to say the least. It's going to be a work in progress for season one. And then guess what? Season two, it's all going to be mixed up because now they actually have some standings and point systems to give to invite teams and all that fun stuff. So that an ESL is something we'll keep an eye on throughout the
ECS.
Year. Or Well, no. ECS and ECL we'll keep an eye on. Both leagues.
Okay.
To see...
Yep.
You know, which one's going to make more pull? I really do think eventually in this world, just like with any other professional sport, you have two of these leagues and they always end up combining at one point in history. And somebody's going to have to give. Some organization is going to have to make that push and hopefully that gamble pays off for them or it's all over. And that's where one league will win out. But moving on. Because we did have a sighting of esports on television, actually for two weekends in a row now. You had Heroes of the Dorm, its second rendition, where essentially they pair it with March Madness, the basketball tournament for college, where colleges will qualify and compete in a Heroes of the Storm tournament, which, by the way, during the broadcast, they like say Heroes of the Storm like once. There's a good chance if you don't know what the game is, you still don't know. You probably think, what is this Heroes of the Dorm game? Because they never mention the full game ever. But so they'll do this whole bracket system of tournament, just like March Madness and everything there, and all these schools compete with students for a chance to win free tuition, college paid for. Which, to be honest, is probably bigger than any prize pool that they would normally get anyways.
It's called a future?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's called a degree. And that will probably get you more money than any Heroes of the Storm tournament.
That's funny.
So, I want to touch base on the tournament real quick. So, the finals was through UTA, which is UT Arlington, which is Arlington, Texas, their sister university for the University of Texas.
Which is about 20 minutes from where we're at right now.
Yes, which was kind of neat.
It was
like
neat.
I'm not gonna, there was a lot of Texas schools in there.
I homer picked the entire bracket to be the final four. Oh, we're all from Texas.
Totally. Even my alma mater, University of North Texas, I was like, champions. Done.
All the way.
Done. And that didn't work out. I think we got eliminated first round. Which, hey. Is anyway. Just like UNT, so keeping the tradition alive. So, but yeah, it was kind of neat seeing that local team kind of having that chance of, I mean, it's UTA, which is not a big sports school in general.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Don't they have a professional player on
They have two of them? Yeah, I mean, most of these teams have some type of pro experience, and actually a lot of them started in Heroes of the Dorm the first time around. So, I mean, this is a very good experience gathering tournament. And you know what? If you want people to see your name, like organizations or teams to pick you up, it's not a bad one to go.
Right.
Especially when it's ran by Blizzard. It's very well organized and you're on TV. So, I mean, the publicity is through the roof on this thing. Minus the fact that when it is on TV, it's not on Twitch, which... Honestly, I feel
I could
kind of hurts it.
I couldn't watch it yesterday.
Okay. Long story short, because I really do want to get more into the TV aspect on esports and how they handled it. So real quick on the actual tournament, UTA ended up losing to Arizona State University. That's about it. That's all I got for the tournament. It could have been a best of seven, and Arizona State would have won four because it was a best of five, and they just dominated UTA, 3-0'd them.
UTA looked strong in the first half of the first game, and then after that, nothing.
Well, and you can tell, I mean, the nerves I feel got to UTA, especially in the last game where their Illidan basically charged in. I don't know if that was a lack of communication. I don't know if they were like, let's go in for the kill or what. But he charged in and he did nothing. He accomplished nothing, charged in, died right away, just like a Skeleton does. And that's it. I mean, that was the end of the game. They lost Illidan, and Arizona State just walked right into the core and finished it. So it could have, there's no way. No way UTA could have came back, which sucks because, like I said, I mean, I didn't go there, but it's a local team, so you pull for the local team. So that was upsetting. But nonetheless, so it was on ESPN2 this week for the finals. The semifinals, or their Heroic Four, as they like to call it.
Ouch.
Oh, that's just the beginning. The play on words is just unreal. So the Heroic Four, that was last weekend, and that was on ESPNU. And then they replayed it on Twitch. I have yet to see the finals get replayed on Twitch yet, so I don't know. If you want to watch the VOD, find it. Google it. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I couldn't find it. So ESPN does what ESPN does best and keeps their exclusive rights to everything, which is why I get it, because I work in the media, and you know there's a reason why even in radio, we post the shows online the day after they air. Because you don't want people knowing that, okay, if I just wait till after the show, they put it up in an hour, and then I don't even have to tune in. And we don't get any of the ratings for that. So I get why ESPN they don't want it on Twitch at the same time, because they don't get any type of rating, revenue generating, anything from that if it's on Twitch. ESPN doesn't get anything from that as far as like ad sales and everything go. So I understand their exclusive rights to it. But I don't like it. Just because I understand it doesn't mean I have to like it. Because
listen, I couldn't even watch it live.
I have no idea, and I guess I could have, but I don't know what the ratings were for it. But I feel like on Twitch, you almost get more viewers if your game is up there in like the top 10 games list, and people are like, oh, Heroes of the Storm is in like number 4 spot. I never see Heroes of the Storm here. Let me see what's going on. And then they could click it and see that it's a finals for a tournament, which I'm not going to lie. I've watched finals for tournaments for games that I never once watched.
Yeah, don't even care about.
But it's a finals for the tournament. So you think, okay, these are the best of the best right now. So I want to see what this game offers at its best. And I feel like that's what something people were missing out on ESPN. Just because, you know, it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind, even if you did want to watch it. If it's not on Twitch, if it's not on your computer, chances are you are going to completely forget that it was on ESPN too. So all that's happening, overall, production was on point. I mean, obviously, the most impressive thing on this, though, ESPN and Blizzard somehow manage to do the impossible, or what people claim to be impossible. And that was fit an esports event in under 3 hours. So somehow these games on Twitch can take up to like 6 hours. It lasted about 2.5, around that mark, 2.5, 2 hours, 40 minutes on ESPN.
So that's now
they didn't break during the games, obviously, because there's not like a point where you can, you know. It's like soccer. You can't break in the middle of the action. But they did analysis. They did, you know, when they were doing the draft and everything, which I don't like the way they did the drafts, but whatever. They were like showing you crowd shots and everything during the draft. why I actually wanted to see the picks and everything, but that's just for me. But they were able to do it. They were able to fit analysis, match recaps, everything in there while showing a quality match and getting it in under 3 hours, which is about what a normal sporting event is, 2.5 to 3 hours. So it can be done. It's just finding a way to speed it up.
Well, Heroes of the Storm has the benefit of the average game being about 20 minutes long, which is about the length of like a hockey period.
This is true. I mean, it's, yeah, you're right. In Heroes of the Storm, a 30-minute game is long.
Compare that to Counter-Strike, and if you have a game that goes to overtime, like that ridiculous All-Star game went into double overtime, and you have people running out of clock, you're looking at 45 minutes, an hour for one match. So they have that benefit going for them. But right. I'm not trying to discount what they did.
No, but it's still, though. I mean, it's... I'd be hard-pressed to see it go 2.5 hours on Twitch. Like, that would have to be, like, 4 hours minimum without, like, the pressure of TV commercials.
That is pretty interesting, the difference between what you expect on Twitch and what you expect on television.
That's a higher standard. I mean, it is...
Yeah.
I know people are moving towards computers, but TV is still the standard on anything there. I don't know why. They mixed up the UI. It has nothing to do... That's just my personal taste. I thought they mixed up the UI, that they went away from the in-game UI and it looked like trash. For someone who actually knows the game, you couldn't see any of the skills picked, any of the timer countdowns or what was going on. The map was like a really bad version of the map. I don't get that.
They had it in the highlights too. And the thing that bothers me about it is that the UI that Blizzard already has for spectating games is so good. It tells you the heroes, the talents, the score, you know, the time on respawn, all that stuff. Whereas this one was like a map and then like the bars with the heroes.
There had to have been a reason why. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe copy. I have no idea. I have no idea why.
I can't think of any reason why you would change the UI. It's not like there's any copy. Like maybe when you say copyright.
The only thing I can assume is that the producers felt like it was too much on the screen.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Like they felt like for a TV audience, this is not going to work out. They're used to seeing a little box in the corner, and that is it. You cannot have all this on the screen. And this brings me up to my next point. The disconnect on how we want to present esports on television. And I might sound like a hypocrite on this, because I know I've been on both sides where I've said we need to make it more accessible for non-fans. So we need to make it easier to understand for everyone to get involved with it. And then I think I've also been on the record stating don't dumb it down too much, which I feel like they did. They dumbed it down too much to where they explained every little detail of every single map. I mean, almost to the point where it got painful for me to listen. And then like, at the same time, they didn't dumb it down from the gaming aspect. So here's a clip of the audio, okay? And I wanted to get the VOD to get how many times this happened because it stood out. But this happened every time a map ended. Just listen. I don't even want to tease to give too much information. Just listen, because this is one of the many cringe-worthy moments of the broadcast.
Is now on the court. DX is trying to apply shields. Akafate's low on HP, but the court is going down.
So that was obviously the final when Arizona State won it. So the hype man was hyped. A little too hyped, but he was hyped. But that GG after the round happened every map. Every map. They would have a synchronized GG.
Well, that
every damn time. And it was like nails on a chalkboard. Like, I love gaming and I love the community for the most part, but I'm also a realist. This is what they make fun of us for.
All right, so okay, my initial reaction is I cringe. It's very cringeworthy because it's the same thing. It's like,
and you know what? I'm sure we do it too. Like, I'm sure, like, when my fiance is listening to us play, she's like, these guys are the biggest nerds ever.
Right. But on national television.
That's in a disclosed TeamSpeak server with like six people. We can be stupid.
It kind of sounds like they were going for kind of like a soccer goal thing, like when a goal happens, right? But a map ending happens for sure at the end of every game. So, like, it's kind of fake excitement, if that makes any sense.
And I mean, that was the final. That was to announce the winner. But I agree with what you're saying, where it's like, you can kind of see it coming, like, every time.
Yeah.
Like, you know this game's going to end with one of those bases blowing up.
And it's not like, they're playing and they're playing and then playing and then, oh my God, the base is gone.
Yeah.
It's like they hit it a little bit and they hit a little bit more. And then, you know, you got 20 seconds of base hitting before it's done. So it comes off as very try hard to me.
I just want to listen to the GG part one more time.
Is now on the court. DxZeta trying to play. Shields. Akafate low on HP, but the court is going down. That's it's going to be GG.
It's brutal, and I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one.
ESPN,
and I feel like I'm beating this up. Don't get me wrong. I really did enjoy watching it. In fact, so I watched the first two maps at home, and then eventually the lady was like, "Hey, we need to go get some food." So we went out to like a restaurant like a sports bar.
It's UTA.
Yeah, right? It's Heroes of the Dorm, babe. So we went out to a restaurant with TVs. It was like a sports bar restaurant thing. And they actually had it on there. Probably inadvertently. Like, I don't think they were like, oh my God, we got to get this on there. Because it was on one TV in the corner. So I'm sure maybe someone in the place requested it. It could also have just been defaulted on, like, that is the ESPN2 TV and no one complained, so they didn't change it. But I did get to watch it at the bar, so that was awesome. And it looked good on mute. Like, you could still follow along not hearing things, I felt. Which is a good sign. I feel like if you can watch something on mute and follow along, they're not screwing that up so much.
Right.
But, like I said, it's just the nitpicky details where I'm like, ugh, did you have to say GG in sync and just, I don't know. Did you have to game it up? Did you have to throw in the gamer lingo?
I would love to hear the thoughts of those casters. Like, if they were told, like, hey, by the way, at the end of every game.
It could very well be. Like,
I have a feeling the producer is like, you guys need to do something. And so I wonder if they cringed at it too. I mean, obviously they were 110% behind it. There was no hesitation in their voices. But I'd be interested to hear what their thoughts on it were.
So I can't tell you what their thoughts on it, but what I can tell you is what Twitter's thoughts on it was. So I can't take credit for this. I just want to read. These are tweets from, I would say, non-esports fans came across Heroes of the Storm on ESPN2.
These are always so much fun.
These are, like, if you thought I was being tough on it, I'm tough on it because I love it and I want nothing more than to see it succeed. And it's the producer inside of me that feels like I could have done a better job at making it not so nerdy. But this... these are people that really despise it and almost are insulted that video games is on their TV that they can change the channel of. So let me just take the time. I can't take credit for this. This is a compilation of somebody on Reddit. They posted it. The first one. World of Warcraft is on ESPN2 right now. If any of you are suffering from low self-esteem, turn to ESPN2 for assistance. Lots of, let's see here. League of Legends on ESPN2? Maybe next week they'll be broadcasting the card game between my grandpa and I. That doesn't even make sense. Lots of misinformation in these tweets. Lots of World of Warcraft, League of Legends, things like that. this one's good. A little offensive. Just saw intro to Heroes of the Dorm. Video game competition on ESPNU. They could just call it Virgins. That's not very nice at all.
It's such a stereotype, and that GG does not help.
Let's see here. I got some. Oh, it's not over. I got. There's a lot of them in here. I'm kind of skipping through them. I somehow got really invested in this Heroes of the Dorm video game battle on ESPN2. It's like Super Smash Brothers meets World of Warcraft. So that's a good one. That's nice. They got invested
well,
with
that's,
it.
That's a gamer that, for whatever reason, never heard of Heroes of the Storm.
This is very, well, you know.
I mean, you got World of Warcraft, obviously a big game, and Smash, obviously, you know, a big fighting game. But, like, how have you never come across this before? Anyway.
Seriously, this is terrible. The joke is over. Take it off the air. So he's just...
He's done with it.
Done with it. So insulted by it. There are some others where, you know, lots of emoticon action going on. I chuckled at this. So a player from Tennessee, his name, and this is just death by collateral damage. I mean, you can't avoid this one. But there's a guy on Tennessee, and his name is Gut Slug. So, I mean, you know, gamer tags, you're never going, like, no one will ever call anyone their real name anyway. So, I, you know, hey, whatever. But this guy goes, let's head to Amy's, who's standing by Gut Slug. So, I could see the confusion from someone outside saying, like, so this guy's name is Gut Slug, huh?
I said when we started this show, like, you can't avoid it. But it would take esports to the next level if we just called people by their names.
But it would never happen because it's a lot easier to remember gamer tags.
Well, that's true. And they're usually easy to pronounce unless...
The only team that I've ever seen trying to take action on this is SK Gaming, where if you look, they have SK Gaming, then they have their real names first, like last name first, and then next to it, I think in quotation marks, they have their gamer tag. They have their handle.
I do wish people would pick one or the other.
It looked really good because they're all very uniformed looking and it's last name handle. I really like that look, and I wish in tournaments it almost became mandatory that you had to be a uniform look like that, because that looked really clean, I think. That being said, we just made business cards because we're a professional esports podcast, damn it, and we need business cards.
Guess what's on there?
Our gamer tag. It's I have Tim Krajewski underneath it. Pshroom. My email, pshroom.tcr@gmail.com. Like, we set, like, in only esports can you throw in Pirate Mushroom on a business card, like, and not think of it like it's unprofessional.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So if you ever see me, just on Pshroom. If you ever see Pshroom, that's me, man. Don't worry about it. Let's see here. So there's some other good one. Another League of Legends is really on ESPN. If you enjoy laughing, you need to turn to ESPNU right now. So a lot of these are mean. Some of them I can find the humor in, though, from an outsider point of view. This one here, at The Real Hobo Dan tweets, we breaking down fairy dragons on ESPN2.
I can only assume Brightwing was involved.
Yes, I can appreciate the confusion tweets. The hate tweets because you just don't understand is what I don't get. Like, the confusion tweets I like.
He wasn't criticizing it. He was just like, it's a fairy dragon.
That's
like,
the best way to describe Brightwing as a fairy dragon. Never thought of it like that.
That's awesome.
I'm going to go follow him. There's this guy right here. Oh, God, that weird video game thing from last year is back on ESPN2. So downside, he calls it the weird video game. Plus side, return viewer, which is all you can ask for.
he's like, it's back.
Returning customer, man. He watched one, now he's hooked on two, and that's what ESPN needs. So overall, I watched it. I preached it on Twitter, at Pirate Mushroom, you know, that you need to support your local, or not local, you need to support esports on TV. Really, no matter what channel it is and no matter what game it is, I feel like if esports is on TV, you need to watch it. You might not believe that TV is the right direction. You might believe it's going to be on Twitch. I'm in that boat with you where Twitch is going. I mean, it, like, I saw a stat where it was like 28% of Twitch traffic was all related towards esport and some ridiculous number like that. But nonetheless, TV is still very important in the world. And when we get this opportunity to be on TV, don't let pride be a reason not to watch it. Don't be that guy who's like, who wants to watch it on TV? Twitch is where it's at. Like, you don't want to be that person. Just watch it.
I would have if I had cable.
Well, that's a completely different story, and you can get it on Watch ESPN still, but that's a different story. That's a different story. Moving on, I want to get to this micro here. We have quite a bit, oddly enough, for whipping it all up in the pre-show meeting, quite a bit on the micro. Lots of CSGO roster moves. Kiyoshima replaces Magalalalala. That's awesome. Don't hate on that. He replaces Magalalala on FaZe, and Body replaces Existence on G2. So there's that.
That Kiyoshima pickup, I think, is pretty good.
Replace Magalalala.
I'm going to stop talking about it so you can't do that anymore. Yes. Answer is yes.
All right, your turn. Go for it.
What do we got? Biggest story I've got. I got to scroll down. Okay, so this might trigger you. Team Liquid picked up an Overwatch team that includes AZK of Matchmaking Infamy, one of the ex-iBuyPower players, is on this team. And just before we go too in-depth, Liquid did release a statement that was like the ultimate non-committal to anything. This was from the founder, Nazgul. Again, interesting tag. What he did in CSGO is one of the worst offenses a professional gamer can ever commit. The punishment for this needs to be taken very seriously. After speaking at length about the situation with AZK as well as Dummy, we are ready to move forward with this team. 18 months later, in a different game, we feel confident and it's time for a second chance, a new opportunity, and we're excited to see what AZK does with it.
So a lot of that gives me that little eye twitch, little short circuit in my brain a little bit. The fact that yet again, and I feel like I fall on deaf ears on this one, but there's a professional Overwatch team. Gee, wish I could play. Yeah, wish I could play.
I wish I could have the opportunity to get wrecked by professionals in the game.
That's it. I just want the chance, coach. Just put me in and practice. That's all I want. But it won't happen for another month. That being said, I did watch, not to go on a, I'll get back to this, because I think it's ridiculous that he's playing, but I did watch a professional invitational Overwatch tournament this last weekend.
Yep.
I've never been so lost watching a game in my life. Like, you know how we don't talk about League of Legends on the show because we find it just where it's not our thing? That I've never been so lost in my life. Like, I thought I was lost watching League. No. Overwatch was just whoosh. I was like, what does this hero do? What does that weapon do? What's he doing? There was stuff moving everywhere.
Right.
Partially, I think the camera guy sucked.
Well, they said the spec tools are awful
right
now.
Yes, that is not optimized for spectators.
It's go figure. It's a beta.
What?
But here's some money to play it.
Right, yeah. We'll pay you. So, anyways, so Liquid picks up
AZK.
AZK, and obviously you said scandal there. So there's second chances in life. That answers it. Are there second chances in life? This is one of them. I'm curious to see the leash that he has, like, or the reception that he'll get from people. All these people complaining that, hey, let them play. Okay, well, it's not CSGO, but we're letting them play. So what? Are you going to be receptive to this, or are you going to boo them? Is Liquid going to have a super short leash with them, or are they going to keep a close eye and be like, look, dude, don't tweet out, don't say anything about this, just shut up and say you're here to play Overwatch and move on.
He's going to have to.
Like, do not bring this up.
I mean, if you...
Don't joke about it.
Anytime any of the XI by Power players bring it up, it becomes like a month-long conversation that ends with, haha, Valve still banned you for life.
Don't joke about throwing games or cheating or anything. Just don't bring it up. Just don't bring it up.
Anyway.
I have here the final ESL 1 Frankfurt invite for the Dota 2 tournament has finally been announced. And it goes to none other than Shanghai Major runner-up Team Liquid. Team Liquid's everywhere lately. But they got the final invite, which is no real surprise. I mean, they are the runner-up to the disaster that was Shanghai, which leaves Alliance, OG, and Liquid being the three invite teams to there. Qualifier teams will be announced, but the tournament starts June 18th, so they can't have that. I mean, they have to be announced soon, probably right after we do the show, because that's how things work.
It's going to be tomorrow morning.
In fact, like that's how I know ECS was announced last Tuesday, because we recorded on Monday.
And right it when dropped we post, right after.
Right when we posted the audio on Tuesday, they're like, guess what? New league. And we were like, awesome. Just recorded. Thank you.
Missed it.
Thank you. Speaking of Shanghai, didn't you mention in the pre-show that Perfect World made an apology?
Perfect World, who is the China arm or China partner of Valve that put on the Shanghai Major that ended in absolute disaster, released a statement. What is it? What did we say? Like 2 months?
Yeah,
a month and a half, something like that.
Too late.
In esports terms, it's been years. Like, people have already forgotten about it.
Yeah. In fact, they probably could have just done a better job of not saying anything, and people would have been like, oh, Perfect World's doing all of Frankfurt. Okay. Okay, cool.
Anyway, the apology was, like, loosely translated to, hey, we messed up. We fired some people.
And guess what? It's China, so you're going to get us again.
It's your only option.
That's what it breaks down to. What else do you have for the micro, sir?
What a perfect lead-in. Speaking of China, esports.
The natural radio professionalism on this show is really shining.
Esports officially recognized as a sport in China. So the things that means is, like, you know, payments, visas, garbage like that's easier to take care of now.
So we have what? China?
France.
Those are the only two off the top of my head that I know for a fact recognize it as esports.
I feel like there's some others, but yeah, I don't know. I don't remember ever talking about them.
Which still, the irony in there is a lot of these tweets for that Heroes of the Dorm was making fun of, oh, this just makes one more case for America being fat and lazy is that we have video games on TV. Which if only they knew Korea has been doing it for years and years and years before us.
StarCraft 2.
It's outrageous, the uneducated making comments here.
That's Twitter for you.
Oh, isn't it? Anyways, well, good for China. Good for China. Maybe USA will do it one day and we'll get that visa. The Mongols can come play in Columbus. You guys can come now.
Next major.
It's a real sport. Sorry about that. So, anyways, that will just about do it for episode 27 of The Center Ring, TCR for short. Again, you can always follow along on Twitter, get the latest show updates, and whatever else I decide to tweet at The Center Ring on Twitter. Our website is www.tcr.gg. That will have all of our latest shows on there, show notes, YouTube link where we put the audio up in a video form without our faces, because that's how we roll. Eventually, we'll do faces. But not right now. What else is on there? I don't know. A Twitch that we never use, which again will eventually be used. That's it.
We're gonna get the studio set up.
That's it. You have to get it. It's in your.
That's true. That's on me.
It's in your living space, sir. So, anyways, you can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. You can follow Brandon on Twitter at
Brand Any New.
I feel like I nailed it all. Thank you so much for listening today. That was episode 27 of TCR. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know. We will be back next week for more esports fun. Until then, take it easy.